April 30th will be President Biden's 100th day in office, and before that day arrives, he wants most K-8 schools open. Right now, about a third of all schools are closed for in-person instruction, but our next guest says we can reopen them safely with precautions like masking and social distancing. Dr. Benjamin Linus is an associate professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine, but his first job is parent. He joins us on Skype. Doctor, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And why don't we start with that first job? What has this been like for you as dad in this pandemic? How's your family dealing now with a year at this point of remote learning?
Yeah, thank goodness. My family's doing relatively well, all things considered. I'm fortunate to have a good job and the privilege of having stability in my life. And generally, I feel like my kids are largely doing okay. But during the COVID pandemic, it hasn't always been clear to me. I've had these fears of, wait a minute, what if my kids are actually being damaged? Like, they haven't been in school now full time, at least. And I think generally as a parent, largely felt that we have our hands on the reins and you're never in full control of your life, but that we were largely in control of the situation. And now suddenly it's not at all clear.
Right. And so that's what motivated you, I presume, to write the article in Vox with the headline, I am an epidemiologist and a father, and here's why I'm losing patience with our teachers' unions. Make the case, then, for why schools should reopen now and what the research tells us.
So there's been the data has been coming out since last summer. And right, the timeline has been that it started out with observations of schools opening in other countries and seeming to have things under control. We also began to do studies in looking at people who tested for COVID and were positive, and people who tested for COVID and were negative, children, I should say, excuse me, students. And what emerged from those studies was that dining out in public, things like playdates and birthday parties, emerged as a risk factor for having a positive COVID test. Being in in-person school did not. And what we've seen from a couple of important studies is that actually you don't see a lot of transmission in the building. So the first was a study from North Carolina that came out in the journal Pediatrics. This was a large study. It was more than 77,000 students and 18,000 staff. What that study found was that while the community rate of COVID was about 100 to 200 cases per 100,000 people throughout the study, so what the CDC would define as the red zone, there were 773 cases in the community, but only 32 cases of secondary transmission in the schools. If secondary transmission were as common as in the school as it had been in the community, they would have expected to see 800 to 900 cases in the buildings, but they only saw 32.
So you're making the point that the evidence is becoming clear. Now, the unions say it is not. I spoke recently with Becky Pringle. She's the president of the National Education Association. And when I asked her about some of the research that's coming out on schools reopening, she says for the most part it's not being done in the poorer neighborhoods. And she said that the CDC even acknowledged that to her. Let's listen.
One of the areas that we're most concerned about are our very densely populated urban areas where we know we have issues of equity and access. We know that this pandemic has disproportionately impacted Black and Brown and Indigenous communities. We already know that. And all of the crises it's spawned, the economic crisis, the healthcare crisis, and they are also more likely, Peter, to go to those buildings that have been crumbling.
So how would you respond to that? And the larger point that teachers say they don't feel safe working in these older buildings with poor ventilation and that there just isn't room for social distancing. Do they have a point?
I absolutely acknowledge that and think they have a point. If you were in a situation where you were 3,000 children in a building designed for 1,000 kids before COVID, then it's likely not possible to get back into that building with 3-foot social distancing and masking without some improvements or some extra space. And if our answer to this is, well, the buildings aren't safe, therefore we shouldn't go back in, those disparities are going to get sewn into the fabric of our society for a generation.
So what do? Get the kids back into the schools now and then invest, or wait?
I think we need to be doing both at the same time, and we need to be creative about getting kids back into those most difficult situations carefully and likely slowly. But I don't think that we should wait for everything to be in place before we start bringing those kids back, because those are the kids that are hurting the most in this epidemic.
Well, another one of the big issues here is vaccinations. I understand that you agree with the CDC that says all teachers need not be vaccinated to reopen schools, and that it's going to be tough to hear if you're a teacher who's older or someone who has a pre-existing condition. What's your argument?
I think the simplest argument for that is if you look at the data that we mentioned before, none of those teachers was vaccinated because the studies happened before the vaccine. So we have empirical evidence that it is possible to operate a school without COVID vaccine and not have a lot of COVID in the building. But that's a different question than should teachers be vaccinated, which I absolutely think that they should. But I would also say that we shouldn't wait for all the teachers to be vaccinated before we start.
So take your doctor hat off for just a moment and put the dad hat back on.
Yeah.
How great is your fear that when the fall rolls around, that your kids will still be home?
I have some concern about that. I'm trying to remain optimistic. So I really think that it's important that we start doing the work this spring, because it just feels like magical thinking to think we can go from where we are right now to full in-person learning on the first day of school without having an intermediate period where we're getting used to it and building up.
Dr. Benjamin Linus, infectious disease physician and associate professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine, and a dad, father of three. Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.